Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Woo, child. I was on one yesterday defending my city and defending our former star, James Harden. I go hard for the people that I love and respect. And that's why maybe guys call me a defensive player of the year. And oh, by the way, pick up the phone, baby. 888-729-3776. We want to know right now on our hotline, 888-729-3776, which team had the most impressive first half of the NBA season? You'll get my answer very soon here. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Guess what? It's Too Damn Friday. We're holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Friday means All-Star Weekend right around the corner. Sunday, coverage Sunday here on ESPN Radio starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we finally made it close to the weekend, an hour away. And today, we've already got a lot of big breaking news, not only from the NBA, because I was on SportsCenter, Junior, when Woj dropped a bomb about Blake Griffin now being released from his contract. What will be a contender for him? You know, what team will he land on? I really do think the Brooklyn Nets might enter the chat, which is kind of crazy to just sort of wrap your head around. But we also not only got a Woj bomb, we got a bombshell report from LSU that we have to definitely get back to. We got some great sound from Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL insider and also former LSU grad and star there. And then obviously there's some history happening in the NFL as we keep that same energy. I can't wait to bring that to everyone. But before we get back to the NBA and I tell you exactly which team has been the most impressive in the NBA this first half of the season, Junior, I have to ask you, if you were a contestant, because we just talked to Nikola Vucevic, the two-time NBA All-Star that's participating in the skills competition, which, mind you, what was the funniest thing that we heard from him, Junior?
The skills about the skills competition? What?
Him? No, getting... just how the All-Star. Remember, he was like, oh, I don't remember.
Oh, well, he famously did not watch and tune in for the NBA All-Star draft that aired live on TNT the other night, where LeBron James and Kevin Durant picked their teams out on that one.
Yeah, I thought that was like the biggest flex. It's like, oh yeah, I'm in the All-Star game this year. I forgot. I didn't really care who I got drafted. I'm just out here to make threes and just show people that I'm a great big. Thank you, Nikola Vucevic, for joining us today on Chinee and Golic Jr. And by the way, we're here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. All right, Junior, I feel like we're going to fight here because we're halfway through the NBA season. The Utah Jazz have the number one record in the NBA. They did take a couple of losses as of late, but still, number one team. Their coach, Quinn Snyder, is coaching Team LeBron James. You know, I think he just recently got Coach of the Month again, two times so far this season. Donovan Mitchell is an all-star. Rudy Gobert is an all-star. What? I mean, the answer seems obvious. The most impressive team in the NBA, probably the Utah Jazz, but do you think it could be anyone else?
I absolutely think it could be someone else in this spot. Janae, I think there's a great argument you can make. Utah, I understand there, but I would look on the other side and say the Philadelphia 76ers, more so because of what they came in, the expectation. Utah is in this spot where no one expects much of them. See all of the disrespect levied their way before the All-Star break. The poor officiating that they thought they were getting. LeBron James and Kevin Durant picking Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell last, respectively, on their teams for the NBA All-Star game. They did not walk into this team with any amount of pressure, Chinee. But I'll tell you who did. The Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, who's been getting pressure for the last few years for showing up, being in shape, being engaged. What is he going to be, the bad guy, the good guy? And Ben Simmons, who we thought should have been traded for James Harden when he was on the block during this season, but who still showed up and showed out. So, Janae, I think for them to be sitting at one in the East ahead of that Brooklyn Nets team right now, I think for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to probably be leading a lot of people's MVP race, it's hard for me to look away from Philly.
Oh, you have hinted at something that I've come to terms with, the MVP race and Philly. Things are getting interesting. Can the process turn into a player of the year? We shall see. I do think the Utah Jazz are the most impressive team in the NBA, and I'll give you the numbers here, Junior. Obviously, I've said this a million times, they have an offensive captain in Donovan Mitchell, but they also have the potential, you know, sixth man of the year. They have six guys scoring in double figures, and they're a very balanced team. Most impressive team, very balanced. The only team in the NBA that has been top five in both offensive and defensive rating the entire, you know, season, and number one record. I say all of this to sort of, like, the idea is when it comes to the playoffs, you know you need those dogs. And their collection of talent is going to be great. But, man, I'm starting to really like Philly. Their defense is legit. Joel Embiid is a beast. What have we asked of Joel Embiid? Just to be consistent, right?
Yep.
Healthy and available. And he has delivered, averaging 30 points and 11 rebounds, leading the way. Ben Simmons, no more pressure on his game. He's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. They actually have two, Junior, both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid for that award, which can only bode well for them. So those two teams are impressive. And of course, probably the Brooklyn Nets, not necessarily just because they're number two, Junior, in the Eastern Conference standings, but more so the storyline of James Harden. I think when you think about the Brooklyn Nets as a team versus James Harden, maybe the more impressive aspect has been James Harden versus their team, which is why I defer to the answer being the Philadelphia 76ers and the Utah Jazz.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So that's our answer. We want to hear yours, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Roland in Michigan. You're on Janae Gold Jr. Who's the most impressive first-half team in the NBA?
I'd have to say the New York Knicks. If you were to tell me that they were going to pass on Tyrese Halliburton and that they were going to pick up Derrick Rose, and by All-Star break that they were going to be a plus-500 team, I wouldn't believe it.
You know what? We appreciate the call, Chiney. I think this is another one. I talked about the expectations, the high expectations on the 76ers. I think part of this is a product of very low expectations for everything about the Knicks.
Very true. But still, this is a time to celebrate. This season has been a pretty good season for the New York Knicks. So much so that people have said, Devin Booker, he's not getting the respect he deserves. He's a snub on the All-Star team. Could he potentially be a destination, a top player that is good, like you could find New York as a destination for him in the future? The fact that people are, putting two and two together, the same thing you brought up when it came to the Cleveland Browns, New York back to being a destination for top, NBA talent. That is a win. You also have Julius Randle as an All-Star. That is a win. And you had OB Toppin joining ESPN Radio, slam dunk contest participant. That is a win. New York will be represented in an All-Star game. You got to be happy with that.
You do. And I think in that, we heard Brian Windhorst say on the Hoop Collective podcast not too long ago, he thinks inside the next 12 months, we could have a star player in this league force their way to New York as a destination. And you mentioned Obi Toppin, rookie for the New York Knicks, joined Barton Hahn earlier today and talked about that buzz around the team.
We mostly focus on like winning games and getting better every single day. But at the same time, it's like, We put on a show for the fans every day, and I feel like with the guys we have here, we love to win, and we have a competitive spirit, and going into every game knowing that it's been a while since the Knicks been to the playoffs, and seeing the fans happy of our success so far is an amazing feeling.
888-729-3776. Let's go to Curtis in Arizona. Curtis, you're on Chiney and Gola Jr. Who's the biggest surprise team in the NBA through the first half of the season?
Hey, what's happening with y'all? Hey, you made fun of my voice last time when I – John Gruden, but I'm happy y'all take my call today. I think right now the Suns, if y'all would have told me they would have won their last 16 or last 19 to end the All-Star break, and then I'll have two All-Stars and one is going to be in a shooting contest. It's a win-win for because they don't ever talk about Arizona. Only time they talk about Arizona, is about the Cardinals. So you got another sports team to talk about.
We appreciate the call, Curtis, and the impressions. It was a great John Gruden impression that he gave us not too long ago when we were talking about teams.
Oh, you have revisionist history because you're like, what kind of John Gruden voice was that? Curtis, I'm showing you love.
Listen, I feel like I was really complimentary of it there. And he's right about the Suns, Janae. Like, everything we said, let's put it this way. Everything you want to say about the New York Knicks, I think, is true 20 times over about the Suns. Now, they were the hottest team in the bubble last year, famously left out after those play-in games, the end of the regular season in there. But they were coming into this season heated up. They added Chris Paul, and it's been incredible. 24-11 through the first half of the season. Second-ranked team in the West.
Listen to this, Junior. Who would have thought midway through the NBA season that the Utah Jazz would be number one, Phoenix Suns two in the West, and the New York Knicks would be making the playoffs? Like, what?
What a time to be alive. I have no idea how I'm supposed. The Knicks portion of it probably is the most shocking in this, Janae. But true. I think I'm the happiest for the Suns because they were the big story going into the bubble, and then we set it and forget it because they didn't make it into the postseason portion of that venture. So to now see them picking up where they left off, looking like a team that is definitely going to be involved in this year's postseason, that's got to feel good. That's got to be a nice one.
For our producer, Shannon, I would probably just say I'm happiest for the Knicks this time around.
There we go. See, we've got Knicks love around here. We
had Shannon looks like he's about to cry on our Zoom right now.
Honestly, our show is so comprised of Knicks fans, 76ers fans. The Philadelphia and New York fandom around our show basically means we're just trying to keep them all happy and compliment their team so we don't have a miserable staff around
Pretty here. Much.
Hey, listen. Happy staff, happy life. That's what I've heard all this. Coming up next, we got one former NBA All-Star on the move now. What his decision is going to tell us about the state of the NBA going into the second half of the season. That's next. Chanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Chanae and Gold Jr., the podcast.
It's too damn Friday, and we're so close to NBA All-Star, not weekend, but night. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, hoop heads, listen up right now. Here's part one. In about, 30 minutes, you'll get part two. But this is for NBA lovers in the hoop world. We've got a big weekend. Tune in Sunday for the 2021 NBA All-Star Game live from Atlanta, baby, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. I don't know why are you laughing at me?
Because it sounded like you said poop heads.
Wow, how old are you?
I'm legitimately 5 years old where I could not sit here and I was trying like hell.
But number two.
And just trying to talk about hoop heads. And it's,
I said hoop heads. Maybe I said it too fast.
Ads. My father said ads.
Oh my goodness, I am done. Hoop heads, listen. NBA All-Star, ESPN Radio, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be square or triangle because that works for hoop heads, triangle offense. You see what I'm doing. But it's okay. I'm going to stop right there.
She said hoop.
Yeah, hoop, there it is. And speaking of All-Stars, I'm a two-time WNBA All-Star, and we've been talking about the All-Star night and also All-Stars all day long. And six-time NBA All-Star Blake Griffin has agreed to a contract buyout with the Detroit Pistons and now becomes an unrestricted free agent. Chaos, team shooting their shot through this All-Star break. I love it. And Woj, ESPN's own NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, he said the likely destinations are probably going to be contenders. And here are the ones. Here are the suitors. The Brooklyn Nets, Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat, and Portland Trailblazers. Now, Junior, what do you think is a team, you know, which team would be best fit for Blake Griffin at this point?
Well, I think we get into these positions with some of these super teams, Chanae, where the answer is obvious. I joked about this before with the 49ers that any quarterback you put there is going to look really good because Kyle Shanahan's the best play caller in the NFL. Any player you put with the Brooklyn Nets right now is going to look great playing alongside Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Hell, we've seen even without KD how great James Harden has been looking with that competent outfit around him. So I think of those four teams mentioned, if he's interested now in solely winning a championship, if Blake Griffin's saying, all right, I'm getting the buyout, I'm going to get paid, I'm going to take the vet minimum somewhere, it seems like of those four, Brooklyn should be the only team considered if your goal is winning a championship and winning it now.
Yeah, I think they have to lean all the way into what their mission has been, being an aggregation of elite talent. And if you can find a way to bring Blake Griffin on and maintain maybe Joe Harris, forget about your bench. Like, just pace your all-stars, your starters, and lean into the fact that this is a year where we celebrate shooting the most threes in NBA history. That's the pace that we're on. This team, when they had their big three on the floor, I believe they were 5-2 with their big three, and they were on pace for the most points any team has ever dropped for a team in the NBA history. So bringing in Blake Griffin as their small ball center makes a lot of sense. Now, saying that Brooklyn could potentially get him is cool. I kind of like the Portland Trailblazers as well, Junior. I know it's kind of going from a small market to another market that we don't get to celebrate and see as much. We more so see Damian Lillard in the final minutes on, like, you know, social media, hitting another clutch shot, being disrespected. But I like Portland as an option here just because their bigs have dealt with health issues. Yusuf Nurkic, you know, out for extended periods with injury. Zach Collins too. So it's literally been on the shoulder of Dame Dollar, and he's been able to deliver, but at what cost? Like, I want to be able to say that Damian Lillard had a championship worthy team, not that he has to constantly put his team on the back, his back, which, by the way, if you're watching on ESPN Plus, Junior, did you see how deep this man is shooting threes?
Damian Lillard, we almost like take for granted that idea. Like, we caught logo Lillard, all that stuff, but it's still just freakish how much he's normalized all of that stuff.
It is super wild. So I can see Blake Griffin being in Portland. I can see Blake Griffin being with the Brooklyn Nets. I think Blake Griffin just wanted to be out of Detroit, really.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I agree, and I understand for a million reasons why that's the case. The thing I don't understand, Janae, and the thing that's fascinating to me about this is why the Los Angeles Lakers aren't a name mentioned. And I'm not questioning. Adrian Wojnarowski is the gospel on all this stuff. So I believe when Woj says these are the four teams involved. But all the reasons you just mentioned there for Portland apply to Los Angeles. Anthony Davis has been injured. We saw going into this right now, Marc Gasol has been injured in a couple of the last games heading into the All-Star break. And just in general, has not looked like the player we've seen before. Has looked a step slower, looked a little bit stiffer. And so if you're looking for a team, the hell, last year, what did the Lakers really get by on in the postseason? Yes, timely shooting from guys like KCP and others, but also just going out there and out-bigging everyone. Dwight Howard is a guy in that lineup with Anthony Davis, LeBron James being that point forward. He seems to fit the model that's worked for them, and it would seem, again, there's the added element we talked about earlier of a little bit of petty in there, of being able to look at the other side of that Los Angeles street and see Steve Ballmer and those Clippers that sent you packing and say, hey, big head, guess who's back?
And we know that when it comes to the Lakers, it's not going to be them going up against a Miami Heat team in the bubble. It's likely going to be against a Brooklyn Nets team or a Giannis team that has gotten better in the Milwaukee Bucks. And on top of it, we're not going to deal with the situation with Playoff P. I know you guys started doing way off P. He has played great basketball so far this first half of the season. There's no way he repeats the same struggles the stretch. No,
there's no way he repeats. Janae, have you not seen the clutch time stats from the Clippers down the stretch heading into the All-Star game? Him and Kawhi have been atrocious late in games.
Well, I know. They've lost six of the last, I believe, eight or nine, and so have the Lakers. They're on the same storyline, but I don't think that it's possible that Paul George produces this year the same way he did. And I say produce, like produce, you know, the problems.
Does not produce.
Yeah, does not produce. He produces issues with making the basket. Like, there's no way he can only go up from there. That's all I'm saying. And so the Lakers in that situation, they probably know that they have to beef up their roster. And Montrezl Harrell is great, but you did lose JaVale McGee. You lost Dwight Howard, and getting a Blake Griffin would absolutely help. But this is our last chance, Junior, to talk about NBA All-Star. So really quickly, Team LeBron. LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic. Those are the starters there. Team Durant, Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum. Who you got in the 2021 NBA All-Star game with the win and maybe even MVP?
I'm going to ride with the team I thought originally was going into this and say Team LeBron. When I first looked at these two rosters, I thought, all right, the combination of deep shooting, incredibly talented, versatile bigs, I felt like Team LeBron was the way to go on that. MVP on that side is interesting. I don't think LeBron is at the point where, even if he gets competitive at the end of this game, he understands it's the regular season MVP, it's the postseason. He's already ticked off about having to even be here, so I don't think effort's going to be the thing that comes up with LeBron. I'll go Nikola Jokic on this one here.
Whoa.
We've talked about him being the unheralded MVP candidate during the regular season, and maybe he's the guy that gets his touches, the one that they can convince to go out there and do the hard work so this team wins.
Stretch mark five for the win. I'm going with Team LeBron, and maybe I'm going with Steph Curry too, because Steph Curry is in the three-point contest again. I think he wants to continue to hit this revenge tour, and someone that starts, shoots a lot of threes, and probably wants to make a name for himself while his team is trying to figure themselves out. Team LeBron for the win. Steph Curry for MVP, but we all know it's probably going to be Team Durant and probably, who knows, Zach LaVine. Okay, that's my foil. Zach LaVine, who has had a tremendous season. I think he could be a dark horse for MVP because I think he wants to prove to a lot of people, hey, y'all should be like caring about me. So Team KD, Zach LaVine, or Team LeBron, Steph Curry.
I just want to point out two things before we go to break here.
What?
The first thing is, let it be known that at 6:24 p.m. Eastern on March 5th, Chinne Agwumike said there is no possible way that Paul George can come up short again in the postseason. I want to earmark that for when we know it eventually happens. And number two on this, I want to go on the record that as we talked all day about slights and about the draft for this All-Star game, that as we talked about potential MVPs for this game, not a single one of us mentioned Donovan Mitchell in that process. The Utah Jazz slights continue all across the sports media. This is an outrage. And I can't imagine it's going to sit very well.
But we had Rudy Gobert on this week, so we support.
We've balanced the scales on all of this here. So plenty more to react to. Again, the NBA All-Star coverage starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio on Sunday. But coming up next, we got to head back to the world of college sports and really college overall. A pair of high-ranking LSU athletics officials are suspended in the wake of a Title IX report. We'll tell you about what that report found next here on ESPN Radio.
Chinne Angola Jr., the podcast.
Chinne Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinne Agwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we have to go to back to this story that sort of we all discovered yesterday, because the USA Today reported, you know, and this is a quote from the article on USA Today: at the height of his fame as LSU head football coach and now current University of Kansas football coach Les Miles, he was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion kissing a student and suggesting they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her career. This all came out in a report, an internal investigative report released by LSU on Thursday, reported by USA Today. And this was just part of an overall probe into LSU's athletic program overall. We found out what Les Miles, you know, his involvement was in that probe based on Hirsch Blackwell's law firm, a group that was charged with investigating these allegations at LSU. You poorly handled or dismissed claims of sexual harassment and assault in the recent years. And now, assistant athletic directors Virge Ausberry was given a 30-day suspension without pay, and assistant athletic director Miriam Seeger was given a 21-day suspension, citing an institutional failure when it comes specifically to their Title IX office, which, by the way, is the landmark law, Title IX, that protects people from discrimination based on sex and education. Not only advocating for equity when it comes to sports, but more importantly, to protect women on campus. Now, LSU did not have a full-time Title IX coordinator until 2014, per the information we got from the investigative reports. And we spoke today, thankfully, who brought us a lot of this great information and context. We spoke today to Brody Miller earlier today, the Athletics LSU beat reporter, the Athletic beat reporter for LSU, who joined us earlier. And basically, you know, check out the full conversation on our podcast, because he really explained that LSU had massive issues with their Title IX department.
It's a university-wide, you know, issue of an under-resourced, you know, understaffed, Title IX department across the entire university that is not properly handling these issues and definitely needs a lot of help there. And then, yes, you do go to the athletic issue of, you know, there are some issues of how they are basically systematically put together to everyone report Title IX issues to a certain person in the athletic department, Miriam Seeger, instead of to the Title IX department, you know, and that basically created a culture of athletics handling these things privately and maybe making them go away, or maybe, you know, not reporting things right away and things like that. And I think that was the main takeaway from the athletic side of things.
Chinne Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinne Agwumike. Brody Miller, LSU beat reporter for The Athletic, there outlining it. And Chinne, it all comes back to me, because these issues seem systemic. Les Miles is going to be a big name, but we heard big player names not too long ago when we were talking about some of the things being investigated here initially in all of this. And we keep pointing back to, in a lot of these situations in college where we see these comes up, is systems that allow these things to happen consistently over time, especially as they relate to this area, especially as it usually relates to violence against young women on campus or just discounting their voices, making it a system that's harder. It's the old sports phrase: you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And I don't believe they're coaching it in this instance, but when you continually allow it to happen in the ways that are outlined in this findings here, Chinne, when you show resource-wise what you value and what you don't. LSU won a national championship in 2019, and they outlined as part of this the number of people on the football staff that it takes for that to happen. And then you look comparatively at the Title IX staff at that school and just how understaffed it was, how difficult it made for these people to do their jobs, and how the structure wasn't even set up for that to maybe happen the ways it needed to begin with. That's allowing it to happen on a systemic level that is such a colossal failure to the people involved that I would have to imagine and I would expect there to be far harsher punishments than what we saw there, and for some of those to potentially head over to Kansas, where LSU still right now has one of their representatives in Les Miles, their former coach who's the head football coach there now. I think him and Jeff Long are going to have some uncomfortable questions to answer about what they knew, specifically what Jeff Long knew or chose not to know when he made that hire 2 years ago.
Yeah, and the lack of transparency is what makes this even worse today, because if we knew that this was a process, we all heard of the improprieties the last few years, like the investigation, the probe, taking themselves out of the playoff and all that type of stuff. But the reality is that if we sort of knew these things were being handled instead of this was a sealed document that USA Today had to go and try to unearth, because that's the only way you can force the natural deterrent of people hearing that this has happened and these issues have not been addressed. And now that's the deterrent for the behavior for those that are in, like, now all other schools are, what does our Title IX department look like? Forcing those questions on campus, that is where the conversation is now. But the fact that this internal, probe happened in 2013, and then finally you realize in 2014, they finally get a full-time Title IX coordinator, but you listed, like, just having a coordinator does not service an entire campus. We know how large LSU is. The Title IX coordinator advocated for more resources in 2016, but guess what? Got a lackluster response from LSU. Policies surrounding mandatory reporting have been, quote, unclear for years at LSU, with nothing to remedy it. And so you can hire someone after a probe, but if you don't equip that person with resources to do their job, or at least bolster them with the team so that they can address this issue, then it looks like you just neglected it, and it allowed a situation that should have probably not persisted. Now you're having those uncomfortable conversations at a different location.
The things you support and empower with resources will work, and the things you don't won't. And it was very clear here what things they were willing to support and what things they weren't in this spot. I mean, how bad for it to get where we're seeing in this report, former LSU athletic director Joe Oliva recommended in 2013, according to these findings, that Les Miles be fired as the head football coach of the program after those accusations came to light. That was part of the detailed report. Joe Oliva, who, listen, Brody Miller brought up, was not a guy that was overly well-liked around there in Baton Rouge, but in that spot said, we need to fire this guy with cause for what's gone on, and that recommendation was not heard in that spot. Because again, at that time, based on everything we've seen here, this did not seem to be a system that wanted it to work in the ways that these young women needed it to work.
And can you imagine that it was a tip by someone that still was probably looking for justice, or even more so, just acknowledgement that they're going to do something to rectify what that person potentially, or the person adjacent, experienced. It was a tip that went to USA Today that started this conversation, and now the resources are a high priority because the court of public opinion is forcing that.
And what you brought up earlier, how long and how hard the university fought to keep these things sealed. The fact that it was sealed to begin with, and by all intents and purposes, swept under the rug from the outside looking in so that we wouldn't be reading these things, so we wouldn't be seeing these reports right now, is all an indication of, again, the broken parts of a system. There will be bad actors that we're going to look at and punish from all this, but again, you allow it to be built this way, and then we can't act shocked when it works the way it was designed to.
Exactly.
In these spots. And that's the unfortunate reality we're faced with time and time again when these things pop up, especially all too often on college campuses. The soul searching and the re-examining of these processes that we need to go through to ensure that these institutions of higher learning actually protect the people that are on campus and there to do that. So great reporting, like you said, by USA Today. We appreciate Brody Miller from The Athletic, the LSU beat reporter, stopping by with us earlier today. Check out that conversation if you want to get a great handle on the information presented in all of these documents, in all of these findings by the law firm. Check that out, Chenea and Golic Jr., wherever you get your podcast. Coming up next, though, a big hire in the NFL and something we can celebrate. Some good news to take you into the weekend next here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's too damn Friday, y'all, and it is the weekend. I'm so happy. I'm so relieved. The coffee, really helped me through today. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., you know, hoping you ride out safely to the weekend, especially everyone in Atlanta, okay?
Honestly. Be safe this weekend. Please. Just be smart. Listen to Adam Silver. Listen to the mayor. Like, listen
Keisha
to everybody.
Lance Bottoms. Like, just, please. Just, they ain't doing it, though, but please.
No, they're not going to do it. No one's going to listen to us, and the NBA already made their bed with this. But maybe if we can reach just one person, just stay home. Just it looks great on TV. You can get drunk at your house if you want to.
Yeah, just do it in your crib.
As long as you're over 21, drink responsibly.
Yeah, that too. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And speaking of guests, we really have to thank Brody Miller, the LSU reporter for The Athletic, and also Marcus Spears, our own ESPN NFL insider and analyst, also co-host of NFL Live. They both gave us, you know, pertinent information regarding the LSU investigative report that came out this week. You know, everyone talking about Les Miles' involvement and all of that. And also, we're going to just, you know, continuing following that, because we'll see what repercussions still, you know, manifest next week. And also, you guys, we just talked about NBA All-Star. This Sunday, you can watch Nikola Vucevic, Orlando Magic All-Star, two-time All-Star, actually, now, the center who joined us today on Chiney and Golic Jr., and he was super chill. I was really surprised, Junior, when he said, well, I wanted to be in the slam dunk contest, and so I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm shooting the three better, so I'm not going to do that because they didn't let me do that. So I guess I'll just do the skills contest again. That made me laugh.
Listen, Vucci Man LaFleur is an incredibly talented player, and I'm just excited to see him go out there and cook.
Very true. And again, remember, ESPN Radio, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can get all of the All-Star game coverage and all the festivities. And your girl will be the announcer for ESPN Radio. You guys can look forward to that.
Hey, let's go.
And I know everyone's excited about All-Star, but let's talk for a second about college hoops, because it's time to tune in. A warm-up for NBA All-Star. Tune in tomorrow for college basketball action as Louisville hosts Virginia. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. A lot of people came through today. We're really excited about NBA All-Star Weekend, college hoops to get you ready. But guess what? It is the weekend. It is Friday. So let's keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiney and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy, Chiney, it may be the NBA's weekend, but we got some good news out of the NFL as well. The NFL, according to our own ESPN writer Kevin Seifert, the NFL has hired Maya Shaka as the game official for a 2021 season, making her the first black woman to join the league's on-field officiating staff.
Love it. And on First Take, Her Take, which, mind you guys, we'll have First Take, Her Take, take over at Monday, I believe at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold, and we did have a Sarah Thomas, the first woman that was an NFL ref this past Super Bowl included, Downs Judge, join us on First Take, Her Take. And the girls are coming through on Monday. Junior, get ready.
I'm very excited. What is the official name? The First Take, Her Takeover. Feels like it rolls right off the tongue. It's
perfect.
First
Take, Her Takeover. Love it.
I did not realize how dedicated that crew was until I saw Charlie Arnold. And you've seen, if you're watching on ESPN Plus during the break, a great look at the podcast that you'll be getting and hearing and seeing on this show. Charlie Arnold did that from vacation. That is a level of dedication that, Chiney, I cannot match.
Antigua in a bathing suit, getting ready to go jet ski. I was like, wow, where was our invite?
Honestly, what the hell? You could barely get me to do this show in Connecticut, let alone in Antigua.
I am weak.
Keeping that same energy as we look forward to that. How about this, Chiney? For all the talk about NBA Top Shot and the things going on in the virtual trading world with NFTs, Tom Brady, his actual human physical rookie card, sold for a record $1.32 million. Good Lord Almighty.
I have no comment. I have no comment.
I just want to know, like, what it's like to have so much money that you're like, yeah, I got to have that piece of cardboard with young Tom Brady. Like, rookie Tom Brady's not even the good-looking one.
You are wild. I was like, it's a piece of paper with the scribble on it, but like, I know it has sentimental value, and we've shifted over to like actually doing selfies now, but man, make your money. Whoever got that, make your money.
That's what I mean. Like, you're just at a point in life where 1.32 is just like, whatever. Like, found that in the couch cushion on the yacht.
Crazy.
Get it how I live.
Man, I wish I had that.
Honestly.
I do.
Listen, we're going to manifest and speak it into existence, maybe. speaking things into existence or just photoshopping it, did you see the Pittsburgh Penguins actually admitted that they photoshopped masks on a picture of fans inside the arena for that game.
That is not a good look. That's a bad job. And I thought we were going to talk about photoshopping because Mina Kimes photoshopped James Harden into the MVP post that has been floating around social media, which made me laugh.
I am very excited in there. And our producer, Travis, just wants to make sure you're aware, Chiney, that he thinks that Mina Kimes should Photoshop a picture of James Harden making a clutch playoff three and then try and make that a part
Travis,
of the internet.
Go home, Roger.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career.
He's
training
for
a better life. He is on his way out of here right now. It is Friday. Mina Kimes putting out the gospel. How about Mina coming off vacation and reminding everyone what they need to know that in addition to her being a super fan, she is all aboard. Chugga, 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 choo, choo. The James Harden MVP train. It's rolling into All-Star Weekend.
MVP.
And it gets out of here next week. Plenty to look forward to next week. Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.